Talking today with Jennifer Houston, NCBA president, and we're here today at the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association convention here in Norman. And Jennifer, you're going to be talking to the membership tomorrow at the general session and giving them an overview of what's going on right now at NCBA and their organization there. And give us just kind of a brief update in your own words. What's happening right now in the cattle industry?
Well, the number one thing that we're working on right now, we'll start out on the policy side, is working towards ratification of the USMCA, the United States, Mexico, and Canada Trade Agreement, or the new NAFTA, as people call it. It's so important to beef producers because of what exports mean to us. Of the 300-plus that we say of a fed steer that is due to exports, about $70 of that is just due to trade with Mexico and Canada. So they're huge trading partners. They're our closest neighbors. So it's important that we get this one under our belts, get it ratified, so that we can move on to working on bilaterals and have a little more credibility with Japan, China, the UK, and even the EU. So that's our number one thing. We think that we'll probably have a vote that the president will take it to Congress somewhere in September after the August recess. At that time, they have a specific timeline, 60 congressional days in the House, 90 in the Senate, to vote on it. So I'm pretty optimistic that we're going to get something done. Hopefully we need it done. Certainly before next year's election cycle and all that craziness starts.
Yeah. Now, and I know there are some concerns right now that they may not even meet that deadline, but what are you hearing from the folks in Washington? Are they sharing that optimism as well?
From what I've talked to, yes, and Congressman Lucas talked to us today, and he seemed to be sort of on the same page that my people were, that we'll get something done this fall. There are some people in Congress that want to make some changes, but under fast track, TPA fast track, it is non-amendable. And they can debate it, but they can't amend it. So I think when push comes to shove, what we're hearing from a lot of people on both sides of the aisle is we need to get this done so that we have stability in the trade with our closest neighbors.
Absolutely. I know that's a huge deal with NAFTA having been great for agriculture. And right now, as it stands, Mexico has already passed it, and then Canada is in the process, correct?
Correct. Mexico was the first parliament to pass it, so they're ahead of us. Canada is basically on the same timeline we are. They have a few quirks in their parliamentary system, but I think when it's delivered, when the legislation is delivered to Congress, I think that'll signal to Canada, and they'll do the same, and we'll pass it on a very similar time schedule.
Mm-hmm. And I know that trade just all around the world and our different relationships with our trading partners has put a lot of pressure on the grain markets, especially here in the U.S., but also with the prospect of lower corn supplies coming up, that's going to affect cattle producers as well.
Yeah, I think that we listened to Dr. Peel this morning. That's sort of the big unknown as to what grain prices are going to be for our cattle producers here this fall. But luckily, on the other side, demand has remained strong, both domestically and internationally. I think Cattle Facts said over the last 5 years, domestic demand, not just consumption, but demand, has increased 15%. We know we have strong international demand. Even with our tariff disadvantage, going back to Japan, who's our largest purchaser of exported beef, over $2 billion last year, we have maintained 41% of their market, even though under the comprehensive TPP that we're not part of, Canada, Mexico, and a lot of other competing countries have increased their exports to Japan, but we're still at about 11% tariff disadvantage. So it's really important to get USMCA ratified so that the bilateral from Japan can move on and we can be on a level playing field with our TPP friends.
Mm-hmm. As obviously you're here today in Oklahoma City with the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, I'm sure you've been traveling around a lot recently, going to the different states and their conventions. What's been kind of the mood of this ship right now as you talk to producers around the country?
I think for the most part, you know, producers are optimistic. They probably like to have higher prices like we all do, especially on their coal cows. Looking at it on a historical basis, we're not in that bad shape on feeder cattle, but the sort of the hot topic for farmers and ranchers in almost every state I visit is fake meat, alternative protein, specifically cell-based or cell-cultured meat, as well as the sort of the resurge in popular press, not research, but the popular press coverage of plant-based burgers and really attention-grabbing headlines that disparage beef. And so we're really working hard on both fronts. I think the cell culture product, obviously, we're not at market and they're not near market. We worked really hard last year to work out that MOU between FDA and USDA so that when it comes to market for inspection, they'll be on a level playing field with us with daily continuous inspection like our beef has. And for labeling, it must be pre-approved and based on science, just like our labels have to be. Plant-based, I think as people really read the labels and dig into what they're made up of, I think they'll lose a little of that luster. I see dietitians and third-party credible sources more and more saying, wait a minute, you know, this doesn't look all that healthy. Certainly, it's not a clean label, depending on which product. You may have 20 to 26 ingredients on some I've seen, and ours say beef. So we know we can stand up to any other product, both nutritionally and certainly on taste.
Mm-hmm. And just speaking to that recognition of product, I know that the beef industry has had some great wins lately in the adoption by many states to protect the nomenclature of the beef industry and its different terminology.
Yeah, I think in the last 2 years, there's been 12 states that have actually adopted legislation that have something to do with nomenclature and what can be called beef and or meat. And 27 states, which 11 are included, have had some kind of resolution or bill introduced that deals with that. So I think we need to protect our beef nomenclature, and I think we will do whatever it takes to do that. I think on a state level, it's great to see the states that's something they can rally around, and it makes it harder for all these companies. We've seen change on their labels due to what these states have done. So I applaud the states that have taken the initiative. Oklahoma is certainly one of them to do that.
Mm-hmm. One last topic to talk about is the dietary guidelines. Obviously, they've started work on that, and it is of NCBA's thinking that beef is, of course, a very big part of a round healthy diet. So give us kind of what kind of goals you're working towards on that.
Well, obviously, we're monitoring the process very closely. This year is different from 2015, USDA and HSS sort of share, but USDA is the lead agency this year. And they set basically a bunch of sideboards around this about what can be talked about. And so we're really happy that they're only going to be talking about nutrition. Last time, 5 years ago, a lot of sustainability stuff creeped in, a lot of animal welfare stuff creeped in, but dietary guidelines, setting the guidelines for our military, our children should just be about nutrition, in which case we know that beef is such a nutrient-dense, high-quality protein that we're part of the discussion. So we're really happy with the way that the sideboards and the committee have come out and said they had their first in-person meeting, I believe it was last week, or the second in-person last week, that's all they're going to focus on is the nutrition and the nutrition, you know, that they're going to, the suggestions and the guidelines that they're going to give.
It seems like that's kind of always an overarching topic of discussion when it comes to either dietary guidelines, trade, or anything, is keeping that science-based information at the forefront for beef.
Absolutely. You know, emotion sells, and we know that, and we see that in social media, and we see that certainly in marketing, but push comes to shove, we have to look and judge the things that we put in our mouth, the things that we feed our children on a science basis, and know what is good for them and what's not, and not just listen to what sounds good or what tells a good message.
Yeah. Finally, you know, tomorrow, like I said, you'll be speaking to the members here at the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association convention. What message do you have for them specifically about the state of the industry, I guess, or what's your personal message to them?
Well, basically, my theme for the whole year has been that there's more than unites us than divides us. We may disagree on some elements. We have a great state and national partnership with all of our affiliates, but certainly Oklahoma is one of the strongest ones. We appreciate that, and we have to work together. We don't all agree. I mean, we all are very independent. That's why we're farmers and ranchers. But we need to focus on what we agree on, work towards, move forward on that. We can work some of the other things out in the future, and some things we may never agree on. But whether it's county, whether it's state, whether it's national, or certainly even internationally, you don't talk for too long till you start hearing a theme, whether you're in the high desert of Utah or the swampy in the South Florida, or here we are in Oklahoma. We all face a very similar set of challenges, and there's just not enough of us to fight amongst ourselves.